Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Good morning, Frank. You coming on the air by
the word, especially for you. When you think you're
I'm here. I got some music coming through.
Just read your Bible. He'll tell you what to do.
Yeah, I can
be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap now. Say, oh, yeah.
Well, hello, welcome to our weekly internet broadcast. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to challenge you, and to encourage you to be all that you can be in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're excited this morning. We have a great guest on the line. He's going to come on there shortly. But we would like to just say hello to our church and our church family, Pastor Michael Morgan and his lovely wife, Sister Yolanda Morgan. Good morning, church family. And also to our church that we do our training class. We do a weekly computer training class for our young men ages 12 through 19. And that's hosted at the First Free Will Baptist Church. It's over in the Duncanville area. And pastor over there is Pastor Terry. And so we thank him for allowing us to come over there. And our young men are being encouraged. And we're trying to develop them some skills that will last a lifetime. You know, our young people are very savvy. And so, you know, and computers are not foreign to them or strange. So they're able to receive the information we're giving them. And this is not just the software part. This is actually going into the computer and working on the hardware side, the motherboard, the processor, upgrading memory, things that that people may just take for granted. So we pray that those young men continue to do all they can in that ministry. But as we get ready to go on with this show, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I'd like to thank you for continuing to listen to this show, continue to call into this show. Our call-in number this morning, for if you would like to speak to our guest, that number would be 1-310-982-4126. Again, that call-in number is 310-982-4126. But now we're going to bring on our guest. I'm excited about this young man. I work with him in our jail ministry, and we would like to introduce him to our listening audience, and so he can become a friend of yours. He's a friend of mine. And next voice you'll hear will be Brother Frank. Amen. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. You on the net? Good morning. You on the net?
Yeah, I'm right here. Am I supposed to get on?
Yes, sir. You're on the net. You're on the air.
Okay,
good morning, Frank.
Okay, good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing great there. Thank you for holding on. We was doing our introduction of our show, but thank you for being a part of our show this morning.
Well, it's a privilege to be on, Joe. It's a real pleasure.
I tell you what, Frank, will you introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us the ministry in which God have put your hands to do?
Okay, I'd be happy to. My name is Frank Dernbauer, and I've been involved in prison ministry for about 6.5 years. And I was called into prison ministry by the Holy Spirit. And I think any of you out there who know about the Holy Spirit, you know how he acts. And we started with two people when I was called into this. I have served in one prison down in Palestine and two state jails here in the Dallas area, Hutchins and Dawson as well. And from those two men, we have morphed into an organization close to 30, representing about 6 churches around the North Dallas area. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I've been a servant leader in this happening. And we started off all with faith-based dorms with one in Hutchins, 58 men, and today we have been ministering to about 225 men and women per week in 5 faith-based dorms. And our goal is to get to 1,000 men and women a week in this area within the next 5 years, which is very, very achievable. And the Holy Spirit has been behind this from the very beginning. We have people coming on board from different churches just by word of mouth. Very few I ever personally knew from the church I have been attending for many years here. Actually, I'm a member of two churches. And the curriculum that we teach has been approved by the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. It is a basic Christian course that we teach. It's the fundamentals, all biblical scripture oriented. Nothing in there is really added other than, you know, really nothing added. It's right out of the scripture. It's been vetted by all the major Christian denominations, so we have no issue with that at all. And what's significant is that in this particular basic class that we teach, we have about 20% of it on the Holy Spirit. We do have healings. We do pray. We have prayer healings. And recently, one of the dorms of 24 men, three men came up following the scripture of Paul with prayer cloths, and we've had three people out of four have been healed from cancer already, one liver cancer, one with colon cancer, and another with prostate cancer. The first two were healed through surgery. They were diagnosed before they went into surgery. They came out of surgery completely healed, the cancer gone. And the other person, the third person, had liver cancer, and she fought this. She's a strong, strong prayer woman and Christian. And with chemotherapy, two bouts of that, the cancer is gone. There's no trace of it at all. Her doctors have told her, so praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Now, Frank, tell us about your ministry. How the structure that you go in on a weekly basis? But I have been a part of that, and I'm very excited and pleased to be a part of that. But for our listening audience, give us a layout of how your ministry is conducted on a weekly basis.
Sure.
Yeah.
When we go in, we do a worship service first. And in the beginning is just more or less an opening greetings that we make back and forth, praising the Lord. We then go into singing. We usually sing two songs. How Great Is Our God, for example, is one of them that we sing. And when that is over with, then we go into our talk that lasts about 30 minutes, 35 minutes. And when a talk is over with, we open it up for announcements. And then when the announcements are over with, we then go into a group discussion. And then when we're done with the group discussion, 10 minutes before we end the two-hour session that we have, we pray out, laying out hands, the men that will be leaving prison, going back into the world.
Amen.
Now, we really have multiple ministries in our overall ministry umbrella, and the Christian teaching is one of them. But we also do something else. We also add testing to that, where the men and women are given tests. After the talk, they go back and answer those, and they work in groups, they work individually, anything they want to do. And we found this has been helping the retained and the learning and the retention of material that we do pass out quite a bit. Also, one day we asked four years ago how many men in this group of 50 actually were connected to a church right today and knew where to go when they left. Only 8 hands went up out of 50, around 50. And the Lord told me there we have to deal with that. We have to do that. So we put together another ministry that we believe we have one of the most innovative methods out there of helping the men get connected to, or and women get connected to a church before they actually leave the faith-based dorm that they're in. And actually to encourage them, and many have done this, they actually get a connection with the church they decided they want to go to when they leave. We put a lot of emphasis on this because we have two roles there. One is not just to – this is an important role now, spiritual, very, very important, number one. Number two is help to reduce the recidivism rate. In other words, reduce the number that are coming back. Now, the average rate, I've been told, in Dallas prisons is about 65. A dorm, the faith-based dorms, dorm out in Hutchins, where we've been in over 4 years, I think actually over 5 years, has a recidivism rate between 10 and 30%. And that's a huge, huge, actually, that is, we didn't realize this, but this really is helping to make safer communities. Because if you release 100 men and only 10 or 30 are going to ever come back because of committing another prison versus 65 that would be coming back and will be committing another crime, otherwise they won't come back in, that's a huge impact on communities, you know, around the area and actually wherever they go back to. So that's been another thing that's kind of fallen out of the work that we've done. That's been all spiritually led.
Hey, man, that's a blessing, because that's when we go down there on a weekly basis. We see young men that have been in there several times. They get out of state 90, 100, a year or so, and then they read back again. So
right,
I commend
right.
you for the work that you're doing and how you're targeting that need there. Now, tell us about the ministry. What's the name of your ministry?
Well, it's Alpha, but we are in the process right now of starting up on actually switching all this into another it's a nonprofit organization called Alpha Plus.
Alpha Plus?
Alpha Plus, Prison Ministry. It's going to be very specific, only for Prison Ministry. It's going to pull all the curriculum of Alpha underneath it. But in addition, we are firing up other ministries as well. One example is that we now have a system where we can send cards, birthday cards, to all the men and women in the faith-based dorms that we serve. And it's relatively easy to do. You know, in theory, but what makes the impact in a prison ministry is volunteers. You can have all the great ideas in the world, but if you don't have any volunteers to implement them, you're not going to go anywhere.
Hey, man, you really said something there.
And where we've been blessed through the Holy Spirit is people coming to us, and what we do is also very innovative. People say, I think I want to go in prison ministry. Well, what we do is we say, come out to Hutchins, spend one evening with us, just come along, shadow us, observe. And after that, one night, 2 hours, we'll get you in a special pass. You'll know right away or right afterwards if prison ministry is for you or not. And we've been doing this for a couple of years. And so far, only one man who came in there decided it wasn't for him.
Amen. That's a great technique there, because we know people have that desire, but once they get in, they see it may not be for them. But a lot of them, they'll stick with it. They'll just go ahead and say, yes, this is what I wanted to be. And I commend you for doing that there, because a lot of times people don't want to take the time out or don't want to make themselves available.
Right.
And volunteering is very important. Now tell me now, what are some of the, I know about the training for that we need to get into Hutchison. What training would a volunteer need to get into a Hutchison to get a part of your program?
Well, actually, there really is no training for us. I mean, you got to go through the regular, Texas Department of Criminal Justice training to get in there. It's 2 hours. You got to apply to be a volunteer, you know, in the prison system in Texas. And that's all that's done. Nothing else is really, there's no training. The real training is on-the-job training.
Amen. Yeah, I like that. That's what I want you to say, was on-the-job training, because a lot of times people say, I don't have any skills and no talent to do it. But you know what? If you're working for Jesus and working through the Holy Spirit, you know, He give you all you need.
When I interview with people and talk to them, I say basically, what's in your heart? I want to know what's in their heart. What's their passion? And I've never turned anybody down to come out there and to do what we call a taste of prison ministry, the 2 hour, you know, join us for 2 hours and see if this is for you. It's, you know, like I said, only one person out of maybe 15 or 20. Actually, everybody who's out there has kind of gone through that. All of the, you know, I'd say probably 15 of them have all gone through this process, and we've never lost, no one's ever, never left, except one was a doctor, and he was with me for 3 to 4 years, and he had a health issue. It could no longer walk down the quarter of a mile, we call a bowling alley, to get to the dorm that we're at. So.
Yeah, and I walked that mile with you. I enjoy that, because as we walk, we see God is empowering us through the Holy Spirit, and I enjoy that walk there, because once I get to the end or reach my dorm, I feel
right.
Energized and ready to go.
Right.
So
I got to tell the audience, though, about our prayer circle. All the volunteers out at Hutchins, before we go individually and do God's work that we've been called to do in the prison out there, we all get together and we have fellowship and we have prayer. And I
Amen.
Just can't tell you guys how much that pumps me up when I go back out to do my work, from my fellow brothers and sisters, all grabbing hands, all, you know, praying. That to me is is as important as the work I do out in those 2 hours. It's just so uplifting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I feel the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us as we in this prayer circle here. And, you know, Frank, and I just want to commend you and encourage you on the work that you're doing down at the faith-based dorm there. We know how challenging it can be, but because of your commitment and your dedication, it's making a difference in the young men's lives. Amen?
Well, I'll tell you this. I say this to our men out there, and I say, here's two choices you have. You could be a billionaire, have everything in the world, all the wealth in the world, but never bring one person to Christ. Or you can be the barber down the street who doesn't have much but has a lot of people, meets a lot of people, and he brings at least one person to Christ. Who would you want to be when your life is ended here on earth? I know what I want to be. I want to be that barber.
You're so right. And making a difference in somebody's life. And that's what our internet program is about, changing and challenging of men that we encounter to be all they can be, because we know that this life offers a lot of challenges, but we're able to navigate through those challenges through the Word of God and being with men that are saying, hey, you know, God is no respecter person. For what he done for one, he'll do for another. Amen. Now, Frank, tell us about your team there. I done met those young men. How many people do you have going out with you at Hutchinson on a given night?
On a given night, we have anywhere between 4 to 6. And the way we operate the program there, what you don't understand, too, is that we have a back office of probably, 6, 7, 8 people that do our other ministries that I talked about, finding the church. And another one I didn't talk about is the reentry, which I'll come back to next. But that's what we have. And the way we're set up is that, you know, we have two kinds of things, activities out there. One is that you can be a speaker. And we have excellent speakers that have come to us from various churches. And I let them do the sessions. I really drop out of the sessions because I want them to have the experience. And I lead only two, healing and how to bring others to Christ. Those are very important. I personally lead those two-hour sessions. And the other is that you can be a table helper where you actually come out there and we go into this group discussion, sit down with the men, observe, and they'll ask you comments and things like that. But we also have another innovations. In our group discussions, we have let the men become the leaders of those, and we train them for that. We have brought people in to actually have trained. We did it recently about 2 months ago, and we want the men to take ownership of the whole group discussion, you know, ministry that goes on after the talk is done. With regards to reentry, yes, reentry is wonderful, but the trouble is that there's so few that ever get chosen to go into reentry because it's based on how much housing they can put people in. So, you know, in our ministry of 58 men, I would say there's not more than 5 or 6 or 8 that ever get into a reentry program. What happens to the rest? Well, nothing, except the program we set up, which is called Notebook Ministry. Yeah, a little notebook. We have the men put down the things that they need that they can't get through on the Internet, things like that. And then we go out and we do research. We have volunteers that do the research, come back and do the information. One example, a man wants to apply for a test that qualifies him to apply for a job to be a truck driver. He's asked us to get the test for him so we can study it, a book actually, a study book to take the test. Well, we're getting it for him. And the reason why he wants to do this is that he wants to be able to, when he leaves prison, right away go out there and apply for a truck driving job. If we had not intervened here, he could do nothing until he got out of prison. And so we're trying to save this person time by being able to execute a plan right away, have a focus, as opposed to trying to do all his stuff on his own when he goes out and have all the distractions that are in the world. And we know who that distraction is.
Yes, we do. Amen. And that is great. That is great. And, you know, that gives a man's hope, too, knowing that there's someone working and that they have something to look forward to, because, you know, as they get ready to get out, sometimes they are lost and they say, you know, I don't want to do what I always done, but I have no choices. I have nothing available for me. So I thank you for that vision that you have that, hey, we'll meet these guys' needs, because once they get out, they got to continue to live. They got to have
right.
a career.
Right. Well, keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is behind all this. The need has been discovered, and the Holy Spirit has given us a way to solve it.
Yes, we have. Amen. Amen. Now, Frank, now tell me, if someone would like to be a part of the ministry in which we're discussing right now, how would they be a part of your ministry, per se, and how could they get in contact with you? Do you have a contact number or a website?
Well, what they can do is just send me an email. That's the best, really.
Okay, great.
And I'll give you my email over the phone. It's this is my personal email, FDIRN. That's Frank for F, D for David, I for India, R for run, and N for no, at Verizon.net. And then what I'll do is we'll have a discussion over the phone, and then we'll set up for you to come out there to join us, you know, one evening at you know, it takes us about 3 weeks to get an application through Hutchins, get it approved.
Right.
That's true for everybody. And then once the date and time is set, this is important too, I guess. I forgot to mention this. We're out there at Hutchins every Thursday night from 6 o'clock to 8:30.
Yes, we are.
And it's important to get there around 6 o'clock to be in our prayer circle and get clear and everything else like that. And that's the time, Thursday nights from 6 to 8:30. You'll be walking back out of the prison around 9 o'clock.
Okay, great.
Now, what we also do, Joe, is that we also have prayer request forms. We have a prayer warrior. And what we do, we pass out in the very beginning of our service, of our time out there, a prayer request sheet. And I tell you, we get these things coming in mass. And we send them off to our prayer warriors, and they're praying over these things. And sometimes I weep. I really weep when I see these prayer requests and how desperate these people are, you know what I mean? What would their lives be without us introducing Christ to them and giving them hope?
Amen. Amen. Frank, this has been a great interview, and you have so much information that you can relate to our audience, and we thank you for what you're sharing, and we pray that that as this broadcast is being listen to, that it touched someone's heart and allowed them to say, what must I do? You know, because a lot of times God, he allows us to go through some things so we can be an encourager to someone else. And maybe someone that's listening to this program, whether young or old, can be involved in this type of ministry and let God bless someone through their experiences. Amen?
Amen, Joe. We don't really care what your background is.
You know, that's great.
You know, we really don't care. It's in your heart that we care about. That's all.
Okay. Amen. Frank, as we get ready to close out, I'd just like for you just to give our listening audience a word of encouragement as we get ready to end this interview.
I would just like to say that I have found tremendous power in the Holy Spirit, and I tell the men every week that when they get up in the mornings, they should pray. First, they read a chapter in the Bible, and they pray, and then they listen. Make this a habit, and as you do this, you'll become closer to God, and you'll be able to get and receive more help from the Holy Spirit. And the last thing I ask them to do is to pray for wisdom and for the Holy Spirit to enter them that day, to fill them with his guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. And we would like to do a follow-up with you with the upcoming year to see how the ministry is going and what God is doing in your life and the ministry life.
Okay, Joe. Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity.
God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you next Thursday.
Okay, you bet. You bet, brother.
All right.
Okay.
God bless you. Before I let you go, be mindful that this broadcast is archived, and you can always go back and listen to it on blogtalkradio.com.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and we'll talk later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Amen, amen. What a great interview we had, brother Frank, as he introducing the ministry to us that he's serving in down at the Hutchison Jail Unit. And that's a great ministry, and there's a great need for it. And he gave you some information on how to become active in that ministry, and we pray that you follow up on it. And as always, we would like to just encourage you to be a part of some type of ministry. You know, this ministry is very dear to my heart, but it may not be what you're seeking at this time. I'm saying at this time because, you know, things changes, you know. But we like to bring to our listening audience different aspects of the ministry, from our juvenile department, from our street ministry, and then from our jail and prison ministry. We hope that something could be said through the word of God, through our volunteer that's sharing, through our speakers that's sharing the goodness of God, that allow you to become a part of something greater than we are. Because, you know, I love the way the scripture said, 1 John 3:20 said, "For if my heart condemn me, God is greater and knows all things." You know, Frank had just shared with us that it doesn't take very much skills to do this type of ministry. You just have to have that desire. You have to have that desire. And guess what? God can, he can empower you. He'll give you what you need. Amen. And as we get ready to bring on our next guest here, we'd just like to have a slight introduction here from our little brother, Gregory. And as he comes on,
morning.
Share with
my
you.
My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joel Lewis.
Amen. Thank you, that brother Gregory. That amen. And we're getting ready to cue in our next guest here. But again, that number to call in is 1-310-982-4126. And you can give us a call and just share with us what's going on with you. Amen. And as we get ready to cue in our next guest here, we're going to play a portion of this tune here. And we pray that you've been blessed. And we'll dial in our next guest. Amen. Amen. Our weekly internet broadcast, Free on the Inside, and thank you very much for being a guest of our show this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm Barbara Great. Pope, and I'm excited to be a part of your show this morning.
Amen, amen, and thank you. Barbara Pope, please introduce yourself and tell us what God is doing in your life, and I'm excited about how God has been leading and guiding you.
Well, I am Barbara Pope, of course, and I am part of the Texas Civil Heritage Legislature writing resolutions for older Americans. God has called me to be a part of that ministry, and I am excited to be a part of that and working and doing conferences for the National Black Evangelical Association, where we have a convention. I am the convention coordinator and the second vice president of that convention, where we have convention in Chicago once a year, where we have a missions conference where we are trying to, this year our conference title is Looking Black to Look Move Forward. And we have a ministry where we do a prayer conference every Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Amen. That sounds great there. Sis Folks, you do something that I'm very excited about. You write books. Tell us about the books that you wrote there, how you are an author. Amen. And give us some insight on the books that, that God has blessed you to be able to write.
Well, the first book I wrote was Now Lay Me Down to Sleep, that was inspired by my mother, who taught me the prayer, Now Lay Me Down to Sleep, which some people still pray today, that I wanted them to understand that you can pray Now Lay Me Down to Sleep, but it won't get you to heaven. And then also I wrote the book for young people, Youth in the Time, and then I elaborate on that one last. But then the last book I wrote was God's Leaders Leading God's Way Through Prayer. As you can see, I believe in prayer. And then the last book, Youth in the Time, will lead us up pretty much to our ending. But it's about young people. And what I talk about in that book, if the beginning of it is, it encourages young people to how to come to know the light, come to know the Lord, and live this journey. Because coming to know the Lord is a journey, and if they journey through this life of drugs and sex and peer pressure and love, you know, I tell them about that journey. And in that journey, in that particular book, it talks about marriage, and it's like a prayer journal. And then they can write in that journey, and it sits down, and I give them a little, you know, young people, they don't like to do a lot of reading. They just like to get a little bit of it. So say, for instance, I tell a young person, I say, well, peer pressure. And I give them a little bit about what peer pressure is. Like I say, young person, if you have to be by yourself, then I tell them, you know, it's better to be home alone than alone in jail.
Yeah,
and
man.
I give them the scripture like that, and then I give them scriptures to tell them what happens. And then
Amen.
I tell them,
go right ahead.
Okay, and then I said, well, you know, and as a young person, then I, through that book, I tell them about love. Of course, Tina Turner says, love, sings a song, what love got to do with it? And I tell them about love from God's perspective. From God's perspective, the song says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag. And then I give the scriptures so they can understand that this is the biblical perspective of what love is. And then if they want to love in the preceding verses is the kind of love each young person or even older person should strive to obtain. And in choosing to love, guard your heart with all diligence. You can find someone who knows how to love, as the Bible tells us. Leave that person alone. Think about God's love for you. And then it tells you, and then it gives scriptures throughout there. Watch over your heart with all diligence. A time to love, a time to hate, a time to wear out, and a time for peace. And it talks about that. And then it tells you about courting. I have, some people might disagree, but I think courting versus dating, how we ought to court. You court a person Are you date a person? I believe you date, you go out, you have fun, you don't have sex, you don't have premarital sex. You just go out and have fun. And then when you decide to get married, then you date that person, choose to find somebody you're going to court for the rest of your life. And I said, as young Christians, I urge you to enjoy life. Do not get serious about any one person until you have graduated from high school and completed your college education. Dating means that you go out with a person of the opposite sex. You date your friends because you should never date anyone you wouldn't want to marry. You should date as many friends as you would like, but they should be saved. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. And then I talk about that. And throughout that book. And then I talk about sex, because we take sex to another level. The Bible describes sex outside of marriage as sin and fornication. Therefore, do not commit fornication. Webster dictionary states that fornication is sexual intercourse between unmarried persons. This type of sex will produce babies who have parents who live in two separate places. You will be depriving your child of a complete family. You will also limit your chances of completing your education. I encourage each young person to only have sex within the context of marriage. Boys will say, if you love me, then you'll have sex with me. This is just a ploy to get you to do what they want, and then they will leave you. And growing up, I find that boys always wanted to marry the nice girls. You should avoid kissing and heavy petting because this leads to sex. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech conduct love. So this is what the book is about. And see, and then one other one is it talks about celibacy. There's a gift that God gives us called celibacy, but nobody teach our children that you can pray for the gift of celibacy. So all of that is inside of that book that I'm talking about, Youth in the Times.
Hey, man, that's a great book there, and a great title to it, because we know that our young men and women are going through quite a bit with the challenges of this world and with the different peer pressure. We can see it just on TV alone, how young girls at 4 years old are developing adult habits because they're not being shown the proper way of life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But that is great. That is great. Now tell me about your silver hair legislator.
What we do for older Americans, you know, sometimes our older Americans just get pushed to the side, just totally pushed to the side. So what we do is we advocate for older Americans. I get elected. I'm an elected official, and I get elected. And what we do is we go to Austin, and we gather resolutions. If there's ever a resolution, anything that you think that needs to be resolved, as an old American, one of the things that I did, because I'm very involved with HIV and AIDS, I joined an organization. A friend of mine named Esther Doyle invited me to an organization on a board, and I didn't know much about HIV and AIDS at the time, and she invited me there. And I got so engrossed in it because I did not know that in the neighborhood where I lived in zip code 16 in Oak Cliff, Dallas, HIV and AIDS was worse than anywhere in the United States. And so my first task when I became a Texas Civil Hair legislator was to pass a resolution for HIV and AIDS. And in this book that I wrote for young people, I tell them about HIV and AIDS because I do not want them to ever underestimate this deadly disease. Mm-hmm. So as a Texas Civil Hair legislator, those are the kind of problems that we try to bring the awareness to America. We write resolutions for HIV and AIDS, for home health care, for Medicaid, for Medicare, for those kinds of things. We advocate for our older Americans, for, say, for instance, the older Americans, if you're in a nursing home, your home, your allowance was only $35 a month they would give you for personal needs care. Well, we advocated for that so that could change, to go up from $35 to $45 so it wouldn't change. And then it changed and went up to another amount. And so we keep it so it would be a stable amount of money. So those are the kind of things. And we have 117 of those people who work closely with our Texas state representatives to pass those resolutions when the session is in. So that's what we do. And so, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Now, that is great, though, because, you know, sometimes we forget about our elderly people and we forget about the young people. And this is a great interview because you're covering both spectrums of life. And I'm excited about what you're sharing. Go on, my sister.
Well, anyway, so that's what we do. We go, and then I go out and do speaking engagements to do that. Like December 1st was HIV and AIDS Day World America, and for the world. And most people don't know that, because HIV and AIDS is growing among older Americans, and it's growing rapidly among Dallas. Keeps continuing to be number one. It just doesn't decrease. Urban League works with the older, with trying to. And see, I suggest, as Christians, we are Christian stations, so we suggest abstinence. But if you just cannot abstain, and you should use some protection. And we advocate that churches get involved in having education, Christian education in the church that I attend. We have a celibacy conference every year teaching our children about HIV and AIDS education. And we have to educate. We have to educate. If you don't educate, you are just it's just sad. So we have to educate. There's an HIV and AIDS Day in Texas because I passed a resolution with the other Texas state legislators. We would help me push that legislative, and Texas has a day February the 7th. And then a couple of years ago, with the help of the City of Dallas and the Senior Affairs Commission Board that I served on with older Americans, we had an April 24th, we had a Dallas HIV and AIDS Day. So those are the kind of things we need to be informed in and stay informed in. Because if we are uninformed, for the lack of knowledge, we perish. That's what Scripture says. For the lack of knowledge, God's people perish. So we have to stay informed and get involved and make sure that we vote. We vote, we vote, we vote. We vote God's righteousness. We go to the poll. We know that this is a crucial time in our country, so that we go and vote for the things that we are, that's dear to our heart. We can't tell you how to vote, but we can tell you to go and vote and make sure that you have voter ID. If you go into the poll, you need to make sure that you have a Texas valid ID. Those are the things that you need to do. And if you're going to send for the voters thing to come in the mail, you got to have enough time to send for it to get it back. You got to make sure. Otherwise, when you go to the poll and you don't have a Texas ID, voters ID, you can't vote. And then we need to encourage our people to vote and to make sure that you vote righteousness.
Amen. That is so important, the way things are today. We need to cast our vote and make ourselves aware of what's going on. Make us, you know, get ourselves involved in things. But I'm excited about what God is doing, and as you were saying, how you're actively involved in the in HIV. And we know that that is something that sometimes we put on the back burner. No one wants to ever think about that. I remember some time ago that I was involved with an organization. We were actually doing street ministry where we was going out and we were soliciting peoples to take the HIV test, and it was a challenge too, because my comfort zone wasn't quite there. But then, you know what? God is able. God is able to help us work through those things, and I thank God for you and for your commitment and your dedication to do the things that God has put your hands to do. Amen.
Amen. And to get tested is the key. That's the preventive, that we get tested. You know, you get tested, and I was just reading that if you have sexually transmitted diseases, you're more apt to get HIV. And then, of course, we know that HIV is not AIDS, but it turns into AIDS. But HIV, and if you get HIV, it can be preventative from turning into AIDS. So we need to get tested. We need to encourage people to get tested. You know, for years, I didn't want to know. I mean, you know, before I got saved, I used to be, you know, out there. And so I didn't really, 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 really want to know. But it's better to really know, and then with the medicine and the things that they have now, you know, look how long Magic Johnson had lived. But if Amen. We get tested and we know, you know, and we know that there's preventive, so make sure that we get tested. And abstinence is the key, but if we can't, we use protection. If we just cannot abstain, use protection. Get tested. The key word is to get tested. Tested, tested, early detection.
Amen, amen. And that's something that we being Christian, that's something that we don't like to face, and we don't want to you know, be aware of those things, that we know that God is able to do a lot of things for them. You know, when it comes down to that fashion of life there, it's kind of difficult, even for the believer that's in Christ Jesus. So that's something that God has to help us navigate through, the difficulty of life. But I like what God is doing in your life and in your ministry regarding our young people, and how the books that you have been blessed to write, how they are targeting the needs and the challenges of our young people. Now, you mentioned that your church have various ministries going on at different times. Do y'all have anything coming up regarding our young people that our listening audience may be blessed to know about?
Well, every year we have, except for like Christmas and those things that most churches have, but every year we have a celebration of sexual abstinence conference. One year I was over in Detroit, Michigan, and my pastor was teaching a message about how to manage your reproduction system. And there's a group called Aim for Success that's known all over the country that does the best presentation on prevention, sexual diseases and sexual abstinence that I know of. They have won myriads of awards, and I would suggest any church, any organization, they go in and out of any schools, and they will come and do those presentations for you. And I would suggest that churches would get them involved, and if they would do it for you. It is one of the best organizations that I know. And we have them at our church every year. Last year, you can make it fun. We have ours every August coming up. We have the 1st of August, we have what is called we have a celebration of sexual abstinence conference. And last year we had 2103 came out of Detroit, Michigan, and they came, and our young people jammed and had a good time. You know, we have to move with the times. And so Amen. We have to, and we had a Saturday night jam session, and our young people came and they jammed. We fed them. They had to aim for success, and we had different speakers doing the during the daytime, and then Emphasis came and did their presentation, and then that evening the church house was full and they rocked, because you know how young people like to rock, you know. So you have to give them something really good to be able to move, because this has changed, you know. So young people, not like we were, we just went to church when we were growing up, and that was that. But nowadays you have to kind of do something different for them. And they really enjoyed it, and this is our 12th year doing that. And so we moved. At first we were downtown. We did different things, but this year we did something extremely different, and it was really well done.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, this is an internet program, so we go all over the world. Our broadcast, we're located here in Dallas, Texas, but we know that this internet broadcast goes all over. So would you give us the address to your church? So just people can be informed
to
in case they will make their way to.
It's Bible Way Bible Church. It's at 2930 East Ann Arbor in Dallas, Texas. And the pastor is Dr. Eddie B. Lane. And the phone number is 214-374-1961. And you can reach me at Barbara Pope, BARBARAPOPE 1@AOL.com. That's the number one. BARBARA, the number one. @AOL.com.
That is great.
Ever want to pray, and like I say, come to our convention in Chicago. This year we're planning our conference, and we're going to have a Christian jazz night in the end of March, and we're planning our conference, and we're praying for great and mighty things. It's going to be April 24th through the end of April, and we're going to just expecting great things.
Amen. That is so powerful. My sister, I am so glad and pleased that you was on our program for this week here, and you had a lot of information to relate to our listening audience, and we pray that they take this information and use it, and we pray that you know that God continually to bless your ministry and continue to give you a vision for what's going on and the needs of our young people and elderly people. And I like the way you're handling this.
Well, just tell people that anytime they have a need, one of the things that I believe God has called me is to pray. And more than anything that I do in this world, I believe that God has called me to pray every Thursday night at 9:00. We have the National Black Evangelical Association is a national prayer line that I am the host of, and we pray. And there's a conference number, and it's NBEA, National Black Evangelical Association, and the conference number is 712-451-6000. And the number you dial into is 615531#. And starting next week, we're going to have, at 8:00, we're going to have Dr. Walter McCray, who is the president. He's going to do Black Presence in the Bible. He has written a book called Black Presence in the Bible, the first black man that ever wrote the Black Presence in the Bible. And he's going to come in and he's going to do a presentation. And we invite anybody who wants to come to be a part of the Black Presence in the Bible.
Now, you're saying next week, that's December the 17th?
15th. Isn't it the 15th? I think it's the 15th.
Okay,
Next Thursday.
Okay, great.
And anytime anybody want to come, and then after that at 9:00 every Thursday we pray, and we pray for our needs and anybody else's needs, because we believe that in a time like these, as we, Christ is our only hope in this life's journey to the promised land, and as we see what's going on in our country with our president, the only way there's any hope is prayer.
Amen.
So as we
Amen.
Pray for you right. and your ministry, and as we pray for others, and as we pray for our president, prayer is the only answer. So hey. I host that prayer and our organization, and so we offer anybody who wants to come on and be a part of our prayer ministry at 9 and starting next week at 8 o'clock, we invite you to come and be a part of the Black Presence in the Bible.
Amen. My sister, as we get ready to wind down this interview, it's been a great interview. We have about 4 minutes. Would you like to share a word of prayer with us in about 2 minutes, if possible, and ask God bless it upon your ministry? Amen.
All right,
and our listening
you.
Audience.
Father, thank you so much for this great day this morning that you have given us. Thank you, Father, for our host, Brother Lewis, Lord. We pray, Father, for our country. Lord, we pray for our president, President Barack Obama, Lord, as he leads us. Lord, you know the many attacks upon his life. So, Lord, we pray for he and his family and those who run with him. We pray, Father, a host of blessings around him, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for the ministries and for those who are in ministry in this, our United States. Father, we pray that you would bless us and bless us indeed. Enlarge our territories. Keep your hands upon us, Father, and keep us from evil because evil causes so much pain. But, Lord, as we know, as we journey to the promised land, we know that you, Christ alone, is our only hope. Now, Lord, go before us and pave the way in everything that we do. Bless this ministry, Lord, as we are free in the spirit to do what only you alone can guide us to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. God bless you. What a great prayer. We would love for you to come on our internet program next year to do a follow-up on your ministry and what God is doing in the life of the believers.
All right. Thank you, my brother, for having me.
God bless you. Have a great day.
All right. Bye now.
Amen. What a great interview we had this morning. Amen. I do appreciate that you've done a great job. She gave us a lot of information. Amen. And we pray that you have this information available and that you use it, and that how she's asking you to be involved in ministry there. You know, she's touched on a lot of different facets of life, from being young to old. You know, God is no respecter of person. You know, I was down at Hutchinson Jail last week, and we were studying the book of Hebrews, how God called Abraham when he was 75 years old. You know, we never could get outside the use of God. I'm going to put it that way. We're never outside the reach of God. We're never outside the love of God. Yes, life may have seemed that it had passed us by. Yes, opportunities may have slipped through our hands, but God is able. As you listen to this program, we pray that you've been encouraged. We pray that you've been challenged. We pray that you've been all you can be in Christ Jesus. Again, we'd like to thank the sponsor of this show, Granny's Place, and our founder Beverly Beasley and her ministry and her organization, how they allowed us to come on and doing the work of the ministry, be free on the inside. We want